This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is suitable for all audiences.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Fantasy Football Goon is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Mandel, the Goon, and joining me as always is John Santucci. Tooch, we are here to bring you your AFC North fantasy preview. Tooch, what do you think about the AFC North, bud?
It's got a lot of fantasy talent, I'll tell you, especially on the Steelers. And then, of course, you know, we'll talk about the Browns, who seem to have improved as far as, like, finally being a fantasy-relevant team.
Yeah, absolutely. They upgraded quite a bit in the draft and via free agency. But we'll quickly run through our format for these again. So this is the preview of the AFC North. We're going to run through our blue-chip players, which... by definition, they're just the fantasy studs on each team. Then after that, we'll talk about the good bets, who are players that are probably going to do pretty well. Then after that, we will talk about fantasy sleepers, people with a lot of potential, but buried in the basement for now until they get the right opportunity. Then we'll talk about rookies to watch, which I think is self-explanatory. Then we'll go over the defensive outlook for the team, as well as talk about their strength of schedule. So we'll just run through all those things and make our way down to the AFC North. So, Tooch, what do you think is the best team to start with? Let's go alphabetically. What do you say?
Yeah, sounds good.
So first team we have on our list here is the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, their biggest blue-chip player in the last few years. They have not been the most powerful offensive team, but they have had the best kicker in the league, arguably, with the biggest leg. And we're talking about Justin Tucker. You know a team hasn't been great when you talk about their kicker first, but... Tucker has a lot of field goals. He's 34, and he's 5 of 7 from 50-plus yards. So he is a stud of a kicker, and he's got a boot for a leg. He's a solid guy to get on your team.
Yeah, definitely a top 5 kicker, and you're right. It's kind of sad we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens' best fantasy players being their kicker, but that's the way it is. Of course, you talk about the defense, too. They have very good defense, special teams almost every year. And then, you know, they have some other... decent fantasy players, but you know, it's not a powerhouse offense, Joe. They tried to make some changes, but as we go through this list, we'll see whether or not relevant again, you know.
Who else you got as a blue chip player, John?
Well, I hesitate to call, you know, the next few players blue chips, or at least the next one, but Michael Crabtree coming over from the Raiders, he's always a really good red zone threat. Didn't have as great a year last year with Oakland. Maybe he was hampered by injuries. He had 58 receptions, 618 yards, and 8 touchdowns. But, you know, he's probably going to be their number one receiver. So, and they haven't had a lot of good receivers recently. And they struggled to find consistency at that wide receiver position. But like we said, we're grasping to find blue-chip players on the Ravens.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a bit of a desert as of late for fantasy points. But there are some good bets on this squad. A bright spot for the Ravens last year was Alex Collins at running back. And I don't know about you, John, but I have high hopes for him this year.
Yeah, I'm very excited about him. You took the words out of my mouth. This is a guy who, you know, you think you're looking for a running back last year. I mean, we were looking for this guy to do something. You know, and I kind of felt like, man, he didn't do anything. You know, it's just like he ended up with almost 1,000 yards, you know, 6 touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, this is a guy you could kind of, you know, it'd be a sneaky pick, you know, kind of a sly pick, maybe. Like I said, they don't have the great offense. They may be feeding Alex Collins, you know, the ball, you know, 25, 30 times a game. So, yeah, this is a guy I think could move into that blue chip player. I'm excited about Alex Collins. I think he could make a really good number two running back. What do you think, Joe?
I think so, too, and especially for where you're going to be able to get him. He's probably going to be available in the mid to late rounds. Depending on how the preseason goes, obviously that could always change everything, but as of right now, I'd say he's a solid mid to late round draft pick, you'll probably be closer to those middle rounds, like maybe a sixth or seventh, maybe eighth round pick. And if you can get him there, I think you're doing really well, as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I agree. I'll probably end up targeting him, you know, in the mid to late rounds. But maybe, you know, someone, we'll see what he looks like in the preseason, but someone may pull the trigger earlier, Joe, you know, banking on him taking a giant step this year. But,
yeah, for sure.
The other guy, for a good bet, you know, is always about the same every year, and that's Joe Flacco. Had over 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns last year. I'm looking at Joe Flacco as a number, you know, backup quarterback or streaming quarterback, you know, not as a number one fantasy quarterback. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, for me, Joe Flacco's that late insurance policy you take for when you have a bye week. And if he ends up being better than he's been, then he could be a trade chip, or he could just be a solid guy to have at your bench to have for good matchups. So keep an eye on Joe Flacco. But like we said, he's a bench fill, or he's a guy you just kind of, you know, hold on your bench and see what happens.
For sure. And, you know, the new wide receivers that Baltimore signed this offseason will tell us how good Joe Flacco is going to be. And should we talk about some of these new wide receivers as we move into that sleepers section, Joe?
Yeah, I would say so. And for me, they're all kind of sleepers because we don't know what to expect with Joe Flacco. But first on this list, you got to have the sneaky Mr. Willie Snead coming over from New Orleans. Obviously, didn't have a huge year last year. He's dampered by injury and by suspension, but he's really good out of the slot. I imagine that's probably where they're going to use him. And if he can get open, he's going to have a big year because Flacco likes to chuck the ball.
Yeah, for sure. He only had 8 catches last year, so I mean, he really didn't. He's kind of lost on the depth chart in New Orleans, so maybe coming over to Baltimore, he'll find some new life, change of scenery. Of course, they also signed John Brown, another guy who's basically just as injured as Willie Snead from Arizona. He comes over. I drafted him last year because he's always been promising. You know, he's kind of like a mini Antonio Brown as far as style of play, just not as tough and, you know, a lot more injured. So John Brown only 21 catches, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm. So Baltimore's kind of betting on these often injured receivers, you know, other than Michael Crabtree. But, I don't know, Joe. It's right now, this offense is still a wait and see, especially these wide receivers. What do you think of John Brown?
Yeah, I mean, John Brown showed so much brilliance when he was healthy at the start of his career with the Cardinals, and he just kind of tapered off. Guy cannot stay healthy. So he's a guy that I can't trust. If you're going to take him, I'm not taking him until later on. I know he's probably going to go before then, but don't be the guy that takes him too early because he's not a guy you can depend on, not in my book.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice. The other guy we should talk about, I think, is Javorius Allen, who you wouldn't think about it. He actually had almost 600 yards. He had 4 touchdowns on the ground. He had 46 catches, 250 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So this guy is kind of more of a third down back, I think, now that Danny Woodhead is retired. So he may fill that receiving back, third down back role on Baltimore. But again, kind of a sleeper.
Yeah, I liked Buck Allen a lot last year. He didn't get, in my opinion, he didn't get enough opportunity. I mean, there was a bit of a log jam last year, and I think it'll end up being a similar log jam this year. But if you need a bye week replacement and you have your PPR league, Buck Allen's going to be your guy. So I have no problem drafting him towards the tail end of your draft. I think he's a good insurance policy.
Yeah, we're both in agreement, though, that Alex Collins is going to get the lion's share, though. Right, Joe?
Oh, I agree 100%. I'm just saying, for a late pick, you can do much worse than Buck Allen. We have a bunch of rookies to talk about. I mean, they had an impressive draft as well. Three big names here. Two of them are bigger than the others, but I'd say the biggest name that they took is Lamar Jackson, quarterback. Boy, he had an impressive year in college last year. The guy is an absolute speed demon. 3,660 yards, 27 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, but most impressively, rushing yards, 1,600 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns. The guy is a speed freak, and if Joe Flacco gets hurt, this could be the Lamar Jackson show, and it could change this whole team. So I have no problem drafting Lamar Jackson late. And if you're in a keeper league, 100% draft Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, those are cheat code numbers, Joe.
Yeah.
1,600 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns. That's just, you know, there weren't a lot of running backs in the NCAA last year that went that high. I mean, rushing and touchdowns. So, yeah, the dual threat number potential. Now, if he can continue that success in the NFL, I mean, Lamar Jackson, I mean, they're building for the future. Baltimore's building for the future. They took Lamar Jackson, they traded back into the first round, right, I think?
Yeah.
To get him, and they took two tight ends.
They did.
They're working on the offense. You know, they signed three veteran wide receivers and drafted tight end, two tight ends and a quarterback. So they are working on their offense. The two tight ends are both really good players. I mean, Mark Andrews, 8 touchdowns last year, almost 1,000 yards with Oklahoma, you know, Baker Mayfield's targets.
Yep.
And then the other guy is Hayden Hurst. He had 44 catches, 559 yards, and 2 touchdowns at South Carolina. So, I mean, I don't know. They still have Nick Boyle at tight end over there. So mm-hmm. I think what do you think we have to wait and see, maybe, Joe, and see what comes out of that pack at tight end. They probably run a bunch of double tight end sets.
Yeah, I think they will. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews. In a podcast, in our rookie podcast earlier this year, I'd mentioned this, that Mark Andrews is going to be a huge sleeper because he's not really on anybody's radar. And he is the all-time receiving yard leader for Oklahoma. Think about that for a second. Think about how many receivers and tight ends have come out of Oklahoma. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And both him and Hayden Hurst are big targets. So I imagine it could be like a Gronk, Aaron Hernandez kind of situation here. And I don't have a problem drafting either guy. I think Hayden Hurst will probably go a little bit higher, but for a value pick, I have no problem picking Mark Andrews. The kid is so talented.
Yeah, he's kind of that fast tight end. He's, you know, faster tight end, kind of like you know, Trey Burton on the Bears,
right?
You know, built like that. But yeah, for me, I'd probably wait a little bit to see how these tight ends look. But towards the end of the draft, the 16th round, maybe. It's just nothing else out there. I ended up taking Evan Engram last year in this 15th round.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well for you, I'd say.
That worked out great. So maybe Mark Andrews or Hayden Hurst has a, you know, a year like that. And Ravens have a fairly easy schedule, though, and they've got a good defense, a good special team. So, I mean, if you're drafting defense late, you could do a lot worse than the Baltimore defense.
Yeah, for sure. And you and I always take defense late. We take it before a kicker, but not too much earlier, depending on the team you want. But Baltimore is a good kind of sneaky defense to keep your eye on.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think in our league at work, Jacksonville defense wasn't even drafted. So and they end up being a pretty good defense.
Yeah, they weren't drafted, and I picked them off waivers.
Yeah, for sure.
That worked out for me. But we went through our Baltimore Ravens preview, but let's scoot on down to to Cincinnati and visit the Bengals here. AJ Green, obviously your biggest blue chip player, stud wide receiver. Last year, 75 catches, a little over 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And that's with Andy Dalton being completely horrendous. So if Andy Dalton has any improvement whatsoever, then AJ Green's going to have a great season.
Yeah, he's still a good player, Joe. I don't know if he's like, you know, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown territory, but he, you know, he's still a first round, late first round, or second round draft pick, I think, to me. And it's only because, you know, a better quarterback would launch him up into that higher, you know, a definite first round pick. But like you said, Andy Dalton, the Cincinnati Bengals offense just didn't have much last year.
They did not. They were pretty bad. And that, with that said, that's the reason that the only blue chip player is AJ Green. So we move directly into our good bets here. And a guy you were pretty high on last year going into the draft, Joe Mixon, he had a pretty solid year considering they had a bit of a log jam as well. 626 yards, 4 touchdowns, 30 catches for almost 300 yards. So that's nothing to shake a stick at, especially when you're in a crowded backfield.
Yeah, he had a hard time getting going, had a hard time getting into the game because not sure whether Marvin Lewis just thought he wasn't ready, but, you know, he yielded carries to the other backs, including Gio Bernard, and I forget it was Jeremy Hill before Hill went down with injury.
Yeah.
So finally they decided to just run Joe Mixon. And, you know, he'll get drafted, I'm going to guess, maybe second, third round. Mm-hmm. More third round, I think, Joe. But based on potential, because he doesn't have a lot around him. You know, I think his only competition now is Gio Bernard, who's kind of more of a receiving back. But Joe Mixon, you know, he's kind of like the Alex Collins on the Bengals. You know, they're going to be a guy that they're going to try and ride, I think. So I think he'll be a good second running back, maybe a third running back, but probably not a first, you know, lead running back on your you know, number one running back on your bench or on your squad.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Jeremy Hill departed for New England, so like you said, there's not a lot of competition. So if he can get things going, that could be a really great value pick for where you end up getting him. So just keep your eye on Joe Mixon. Hopefully he can stay healthy through the preseason, and then he might make things interesting during the regular season. Another good bet here is a guy that's been as about wildly inconsistent as you could ever imagine, Andy Dalton. Right. Last year he threw for a little about 33,320 yards for 25 tutties and 12 interceptions. So
the numbers don't look terrible, you know?
They don't look terrible, but I don't think they talk to the full story for how bad that team really was last year.
Right, right. And I mean, 25 touchdowns, only 12 interceptions. You know, you and I both wouldn't have believed these numbers. You know, we thought it was a lot worse than that. But, you know, if he could improve on that, you know, he's going to end up being probably a second quarterback or a streaming quarterback. A lot like, you know, he's Joe Flacco. You know, of the Bengals.
He is.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to, Andy Dalton's probably going to be someone's second quarterback, maybe, like Joe Flacco, maybe, or either of those two will go undrafted.
Yeah, Joe Flacco's ginger cousin.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But moving into our sleeper section here, the number one guy on this list, at least for me, John, is a guy who was not healthy last year, but he's almost there. In Tyler Eifert, a tight end. You're talking a guy who two seasons ago was a top five tight end when he was healthy. Tyler Eifert only had four catches last year, didn't even get 50 yards on the season. But when he's healthy, Dalton is always looking his direction. So that's a really good guy to have, especially in a PPR league.
Yeah, so much potential. Just always seems to be hurt. You know, and this is kind of one of the reasons, you know, we'll talk about a few of these other receivers on Bengals of why Andy Dalton could be a good bet, you know, as we get into some of these sleeper receivers. If Eifert is available the whole season, you know, then Andy Dalton's numbers are just going to improve.
Right.
So, this is a guy, you know, someone's going to draft him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, based on potential, just as their second tight end, you know, say they draft someone, you know, decent as a tight end, then they'll come back and maybe try and get Eifert. And then if Eifert starts having a good year, try and move him for picks or for other players. But, this is a guy, if he can stay healthy, you know, he's going to be up in that, you know, top 10, top 15 tight ends.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I am with you there 100%. And why don't you tell us about some of these other sleepers, John, on the Bengals. They've been very inconsistent, but there's a lot of potential there, too.
Yeah, and these guys, in no particular order, you know, they're guys who can help Andy Dalton, you know, succeed and perform a little bit better. So one of them was Brandon LaFell, who always seems to kind of be a rider. It's like, oh, LaFell scored again, you know. His guy's like... You know, he's on waivers or something, you know, or he's a free agent, you know. He's like, but you know, he had 52 catches last year, three touchdowns, you know. Yeah, we'll see. And then a receiver they drafted really high last year, but missed the whole season. It was just a speed demon, is John Ross. You know, this is a guy that could really open it up for the Bengals. You know, with Ross and AJ Green. You know, that would they really could improve Andy Dalton's number if John Ross is running, you know, fast routes. He was a guy that was just, you know, really fast and really a really high potential receiver coming out of Washington last year. Just missed the whole season. So unknown. Maybe some people, he's not on anybody's radar, you know, and that's someone you could get. Hey, I need my fourth or fifth receiver. I'm going to take a flyer on this guy. What do you think of John Ross, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of pick that if it pans out, he's the guy that helps you win your championship, right? A guy that no one thought about last year, a guy who's on nobody's radar this year, and then boom, out of nowhere, has a big game, is a big part of that offense. And, I mean, you have A.J. Green taking all that double coverage, so, you know, John Ross is going to get a lot of single coverage, and he's going to have some wide open plays. So if he's healthy, look out.
Yeah, and then, you know, the last guy on our sleeper list is Gio Bernard, who, you know, always seems to be pretty solid. You know, of course, they had the log jam at running back last year, but, you know, Bernard had 43 catches last year. So without any of the other guys around and maybe spelling Joe Mixon and coming in on third downs as a receiving back, could improve on those numbers. Had four total touchdowns, two rushing, two receiving last year. Maybe he adds a couple more and he's a flex player or a bye week fill in for you. But if Joe Mixon goes down, of course his numbers would improve.
Yeah, and like we said, Gio Bernard always more value in a PPR league. So if you're working in PPR, definitely grab Gio Bernard. He has a lot of potential to get more than he had last year. Only 43 catches is nothing to shake a stick at, but yeah. I think that number goes higher this year. I think he's closer to the 55-60 range.
Yeah, I do too. I'm right with you there. They did have one guy I'm kind of looking at here, another guy who could improve Dalton's numbers. This is a big rookie. This guy is like 6'5", 240. He's built more like a tight end. His name's Auden Tate. He had 10 touchdowns last year at Florida State on only 40 catches.
Wow.
So we'll see. Maybe he's like a big red zone tight end, especially if Tyler Eifert isn't around. I'm thinking this guy's kind of like going to have the Ricky Seals-Jones effect, you know?
Right.
if you remember, Ricky Seals-Jones had like a couple, two or three big weeks towards the end of the season. You know, maybe this Auden Tate is kind of like that too. We'll talk about Ricky Seals-Jones when we get to the NFC West preview. But keep an eye on Auden Tate, you know, especially as a red zone target for the Bengals.
For sure. And now that we're through their offense, let's talk a little bit about their defense. They're pretty good defense. I mean, they've been okay with their special teams, but their schedule is pretty easy. Their overall strength of schedule, I'd say, is not too bad. So as long as they can get everything in gear and that offense starts to click, you know, it's very possible this could be I'd say maybe a 9-win, maybe a 10-win team max.
Yeah, they had a good defense last year. It's probably a streaming defense, maybe, Joe. Of course, their division is improved. You know, all the teams have improved in that division. So I'm going to wait and see on Cincinnati. Probably, I don't think I would draft them unless there's nothing else left, you know, towards the end of the draft. But let's wait and see for me, Joe.
Yeah, the hopes aren't high for them. Like I said, it would take a very perfect season to have them win 10 games, and I just don't see that happening. But
yeah,
a team that really improved from the stinker is the Cleveland Browns. Had a very good draft, very good free agency, and their biggest blue chip player, of course, is the PPR machine that is Jarvis Landry. I always make fun of it because he has way more catches than he does yardage, and that's always the case. But last year he had 112 catches, which is first in the NFL, for 987 yards and 9 touchdowns. The touchdown number is great, but the yardage isn't so great.
Right. Yeah, PPR numbers were great again. You know, he's going to be picked high. You know, people always seem to wait on him, though. You know, did you notice that?
Like, yeah,
he's a number one receiver. You know, if you have him as a number two receiver, you're really looking good. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone will draft him as a. Maybe someone takes, you know, two running backs their first two picks, then they come back try to get Jarvis Landry at the top of the third round or something. You know, I mean, maybe he's gone or something. Where are you looking at Jarvis Landry going in a fantasy draft, Joe?
Based off of everything that I'm seeing and and the trends that I've seen during mock drafts. I think he in PPR leagues, he's probably going to go in the second round. In standard leagues, he'll probably go in the front of the third round. But if you're in a PPR league, I don't have any problem taking Jarvis Landry in the second round, especially if the big names fall off the draft board.
Yeah, maybe in a bigger league, end of the first round is even acceptable. You know, in a snake draft, coming back up, getting Jarvis Landry and someone that you have last pick of the first round, first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
That's a good spot for Jarvis Landry, too. But, the touchdowns went up. He's got some other targets around him that could increase his value. As the, you know, maybe he sees some Josh Gordon around and Duke Johnson and the tight ends they have over there. Maybe he sees a little bit more single coverage. Jarvis Landry, of course, does most of his damage out of the slot. So, Jarvis Landry, I think, is destined for another fairly good season, man, a really good season.
Yeah, I'd say so, too. And along with having a better wide receiver core, you also have better quarterbacks. In free agency, the Browns picked up Tyrod Taylor, and he is a good bet. He's been very solid in his career. He hasn't had the most talent around him. I would say this is probably the most talent he's had on a team yet. But Tyrod Taylor last year for the Buffalo, 2,800 yards, 14 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, and he rushed for 427 yards for 4 rushing touchdowns as well. So Tyrod Taylor quietly had a very nice season on a Buffalo Bill team that somehow made the playoffs, but they weren't really as good as they looked on paper. But Tyrod Taylor, put him with all his talent, I think you're looking at a very good fantasy quarterback and someone that Baker Mayfield can learn a lot from.
Yeah, and if Baker Mayfield doesn't take over for him at some time, Tyrod Taylor, I'm sure it's his starting job to lose. But, Baker Mayfield sure had some impressive college numbers, and we'll get to that later, of course. But, Tyrod Taylor, I'm sure he would make someone a really good backup quarterback, or someone you draft to back up your starter. Don't know if he's the number one quarterback on a fantasy squad. What do you think, Joe? Is he a number one or a number two?
He's definitely a number two, but he's that guy that you take late that could end up being your number one if all the cards fall the right way. So don't invest too much in him, but I think he is filled with talent, and he's got a lot to prove this year.
Yeah, he does, because they signed a good running back who had a really good season last year, Joe. Carlos Hyde, 938 yards, 8 touchdowns, caught 59 balls, too. So, they also have Duke Johnson in the backfield at 74 catches. So they've got guys that they can throw, running backs they can throw to out of the backfield. So he's got weapons. He also has some good wide receivers, too, which we'll also get to. But Carlos Hyde, a good bet, Joe?
I'd say he's a good bet. And between those two guys, Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde, I'd say the guy whose reception count's going to go down is definitely Duke Johnson. He had 74 grabs last year, so look for that number to go down, and Carlos Hyde's maybe to even go up. But that's a great 1-2 punch in that backfield. Both Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. Obviously, I like Carlos Hyde better, but if you can get Duke Johnson later on, Carlos Hyde has been known to get hurt throughout the season, so I think both of these guys are going to get a lot of carries this year.
Well, if Carlos Hyde does get hurt, they have a rookie we'll talk about in a second who could fill in for him. Another guy in a good bet was, I think he's looked good in the offseason so far, workouts, is Josh Gordon, Joe. I know he's the much-troubled, super talented wide receiver on the Bengals. Only came back last year for 18 catches, 335 yards, and 1 touchdown. But, he missed most of the season suspension. But, Josh Gordon and Tyrod Taylor really connect. Man, there's a pretty high ceiling there, Joe. What do you think of Josh Gordon?
The guy is an absolute machine. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him, John, but he looks like a statue. He is absolutely ripped. So he worked hard this offseason. I think it's going to pay off on the field. Josh Gordon is probably going to get taken a little higher than you would expect. So if you want him, you're probably going to have to go and get him. But I think he's probably a fifth or sixth rounder in my book. But if you really want Josh Gordon, go and get him. I think he's going to have a nice season. I just don't know if it's worth taking him that early.
Yeah, could really pay off, though, Joe. I don't know what's... I can't pin down where I think he's going to get drafted yet. I'll have to, you know, go through some mock drafts before I figure out when's a good spot to take him. But man, if he comes back, dude, it could be a really good pickup. You know, it could be a guy you pick up as your second or third wide receiver who just ends up having number one receiver numbers. You know, like 80 catches and 1,100 yards, and 9 touchdowns. You know,
yeah,
so, yeah. In the sleeper section, I got it's kind of a mixed bag, Joe. I mean, there's guys who kind of haven't done stuff yet, but Corey Coleman, wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably won't get as many balls with Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry there, so definitely a deep sleeper for me.
Late round pick if you want, but I would probably pick him up off waivers if you need to.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course they have two pretty good tight ends. David Njoku had a really good season last year. Maybe it looks poised to take a jump this year. But, you know, like Cleveland coaches and media seem to be high on Seth DeValve, who they say is also a really good tight end. So that battle, you know, something to keep an eye on at tight end. Maybe they run some two tight end sets. But to me, I think Njoku's a more talented tight end. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, and Njoku's got the height and he's got the wingspan. He's the kind of guy that you want at tight end, and I think he is the guy to get if you're going to get one of them. But for me, they're streaming tight ends. I don't think either of those guys could be starters for your fantasy team, but if Njoku turns things around and maybe has a better season, you can wait and see and get him off waivers.
Right, and of course then there's Zane Gonzalez. He's a kicker, but... You know, as the Cleveland Browns improve and their offense improves, the kicker, this kicking game could improve as well. You know, he was pretty accurate from 50 yards and beyond. So it's just a kicker to keep an eye on. I don't know whether he'll get drafted or not, but a sleeper kicker for sure. A really good college player coming out. Last year was his rookie season. This will be his second year.
Yeah, definitely a good guy to watch. And we talked a little bit about the rookies to watch. You mentioned a running back that was drafted. We're talking about Nick Chubb. Very, very good from Georgia. 1,345 yards rushing, 15 touchdowns, 4 receptions, and 30 yards on those receptions. So, man, Nick Chubb has been fantastic, and he kind of gets put into this log jam. So I don't exactly know what to do with him. I think personally he's more of a wait and see. Unless you're in a keeper or a dynasty league, then go ahead and pick up Nick Chubb. But I think we have to wait and see with Nick Chubb for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, especially if Carlos Hyde goes down, I think he's going to get plugged in there right away. I mean, he's just good numbers, 15 touchdowns. That's splitting time with Sony Michel. So yeah, he's a player to, you know, keep an eye on. I don't think he'll get drafted. But any injury to Carlos Hyde, and that's the guy to grab, Joe.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously their biggest rookie acquisition was their first-round pick. We're talking about Baker Mayfield, who put up astronomical numbers last year in college. Mm-hmm. 4,627 yards passing with 43 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions.
Had 4 rushing touchdowns on the ground as well, and that's why I think, you know, that he's got a good chance to, you know, at some point maybe take over for Tyrod Taylor. And I know that, you know, teams like to have their guys sit for a little while and learn. But Tyrod Taylor, you know, sometimes, you know, he's banged up. We'll see, though. But those kind of numbers, I think he'll have he'll find some success. Very accurate. Which, again, though, wait and see. Maybe by midseason, if they're not, you know, playing that well, maybe you'll see Baker Mayfield. He could have a fairly decent streaming quarterback.
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely a guy to draft late in a keeper and dynasty leagues. So keep an eye on Baker Mayfield. Could end up being a fantasy stud if the cards fall the right way. But we're moving on to the Cleveland Browns defense. They were much improved in last year's draft. Tell me a little bit about the Browns defense, John, and what your outlook is for them.
Well, there was an ascending defense. They've been drafting, you know, pass rush, you know. Last year they had the number one overall pick. They've had high draft picks, so this could be a good defense, Joe. I'm going to kind of wait and see on it, but if there's nothing else, you know, you never know. I mean, their schedule, it seems to be a little bit harder, but again, the AFC North isn't that hard of a division, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wait and see, but man, it could really be good with all the pass rush they have if that pass rush comes together this year.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be much better, but we will wait and see. They do have a very hard schedule, like you mentioned. We just got to wait and see what's going to happen here and kind of go on from there. But I think we all can agree that Cleveland Browns have improved tremendously.
Yeah, and I think that division's still Pittsburgh's to lose, and we'll talk about them now. This is fantasy gold here, Joe. Lots of good players on this team. You know, two of the top players in fantasy are on this team. And then some quality players down there and a very good defense. So I'll let you take it away with the blue chips.
Yeah, you can't talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers without talking about Mr. Antonio Brown, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. The guy is an absolute speed demon. You're talking 101 receptions last year, 1,553 yards, and 9 touchdowns. So when you're talking PPR, you have to be talking about Antonio Brown as a top 5 pick. He's going to go off the board probably instantly. He's not going to last very long. And Antonio Brown has been, you know, unstoppable for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he's a top 5 pick guaranteed. Probably won't make it to 5, though, so maybe call him a top 4 pick.
Yeah.
But guaranteed 100 catches every year. Elite stop-start ability, the speed, the route running. It's all there. You know, he's the playmaker on Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's favorite target, always looks his way. Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong. He'll probably be the number one wide receiver drafted.
Yeah, he will be. And John, he is the epitome of what you want with your first pick. When I'm looking for my first pick, I want someone who's dependable, who usually stays healthy, and is going to be producing year after year. And you see that from Antonio Brown. Yes, he got hurt last year, but even with getting hurt, he put up amazing numbers. So Antonio Brown is the best possible first-round pick. He's everything you want if you're playing it safe. Playing it safe with Antonio Brown, you can do a whole lot worse.
Yeah, for sure. You nailed it right there. AB's the man, and you know, I'd be fine drafting him, you know, with a top pick.
And our next guy on the list gets a little bit more interesting here. You got Le'Veon Bell, who's been a machine at running back, no doubt about that. But he is in the midst of a holdout, and reports came today from Adam Schefter that he may even sit out the first whole half of the season if he doesn't get a long-term deal worked out with the Steelers. So that would definitely damper his fantasy value, John.
Well, that's going to mess up the top of the draft too, Joe.
Let's
just like look at those numbers from last year just real quick before we talk holdout. But 1,291 yards, 9 touchdowns, 85 catches, 655 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He didn't even play a whole season, did he, Joe?
No, I believe he was suspended for the first 3 games.
I think so, 2 or 3. I think the first 2 games, Joe.
Okay.
I think it was the first 2 games. So didn't play a full season. Still had amazing numbers, 85 catches. So, you know, not only is he a fantasy stud, 11 total touchdowns, he's also a PPR demon. As far as the holdout goes, man, we really have to wait and see. So, if you know, you're in a league, you're hoping that the draft is a late, you know, August draft for you. You know, this is a situation that every fantasy football fan and pundit and experts will be monitoring very closely.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna have to be careful with the Bears Barroom draft, John. It's August 18th. You know, very well could still be in holdout mode, so we'll have to wait and see there, but it's gonna be very interesting. But with that said, in PPR leagues, I have a hard time not taking Le'Veon Bell first overall if he is playing.
For sure. It makes it interesting. You know, same thing with It's kind of the same situation we had with Ezekiel Elliott last year.
Right.
You know, he was suspended for the first six games. You know, so where is he going to get drafted? Now it screws up the top of the draft. So, yeah, this is another season of draft intrigue.
Yeah, no shortage of that. But let's move into our good bets section. Obviously, at quarterback, you got Ben Roethlisberger, who had a great year considering a lot of people kind of gave him crap. But 4,251 yards, which is incredible, 28 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. So very solid year out of Big Ben. You know what you're getting with him. He's going to throw off the ball to Antonio Brown, and he's going to get a lot of yardage. So for where you can get Ben Roethlisberger, he's a great value pick.
Yeah, and he's got great targets. You know, if we'll talk about this in a minute, if his tight end situation improves, then he's just going to be even better. And they have two really good wideouts starters, and they drafted another one who we'll also talk about. So they've improved their offense, Joe. The guy opposite Antonio Brown also had a great rookie season.
Yes, he did. And I was lucky enough to get him on my fantasy team. I am talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. The kid was phenomenal last year. And that's with Martavis Bryant non-existent. So with him this year fully in this offense, I'm expecting great things.
Yeah, almost 1,000 yards on only 58 catches. And he had 7 touchdowns as a rookie. So that was a good sleeper pick last year. Paid off, and he's up in the good bets this year. Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, looking could be on your fantasy squad a number two, definitely at least a number three, possibly a number two wide receiver on your squad.
Yeah, I'd be happy with him as a three, and he's got a lot of potential there. But moving into the sleeper section is one of your favorite sleeper tight ends, John. I'll let you talk about your guy.
Yeah, it's the guy that's really fast. I mean, you saw him run down Marcus Cooper of the Bears,
who
slowed up on an interception before he got to the end zone, and Vance McDonald slapped the ball away. No touchdown on the defense. No defensive score there. But Vance McDonald had a lot of potential in San Francisco. Injured a lot. San Francisco got rid of him. Came to Pittsburgh last season. Was injured, you know, most of the season. Has a ton of potential though. He's a great athlete. If he's healthy this year and he stays healthy, you know, Vance McDonald could be that kind of Travis Kelce light receiver that could really improve Pittsburgh's offense. Just another weapon for Big Ben. You know, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Vance McDonald. You know, three weapons going out. Le'Veon Bell catching the ball. That's four good weapons on any down from a standard set. So like Vance McDonald as a sleeper, you know, sneaky pick. Mm-hmm. Maybe as your backup tight end. But they did have another good tight end there too. Not like a speed demon like him, but he had some good numbers, didn't he, Joe?
Yeah, we're talking about the outlaw Jesse James.
That's right.
43 catches last year, 372 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So Big Ben looks his way often, but with Vance McDonald maybe finally healthy, things may change a little bit. But it's a bit of a toss-up between these two guys right now.
Yeah, Jesse James is like 6'8", so it's no wonder that Big Ben looks this way a lot.
Yeah. You know,
it's like Frankenstein coming down the route. But but yeah, good numbers. He's a great red zone threat, Jesse James. So, you know, these two guys, I think you have to wait a little bit at maybe streaming tight ends, or if you're thinking you're a gambler, you want to take Vance McDonald, you know, end of the draft, you know, as a sleeper, then, it could pay off for you.
Yeah, I think so. So just keep an eye on those two guys. And our last sleeper pick here, and it's a kicker, so it's easy to put a kicker as a sleeper, but Chris Boswell did actually pretty well last year. I mean, he had 35 field goals, and he was perfect from 50 yards or more. He only kicked 4 kicks from beyond 50 yards, but he nailed all of them. So when you're looking for a kicker late in the draft, last round, it's not a bad pick.
Yeah, I had him on my squad last year, you know, and with that good offense of Pittsburgh, he's not a bad kicker to consider. He did great for me last year when I had him on limited duty. I kind of like, you know, flipped around my kickers, got rid of them, picked them up. I was streaming kickers for the most part last season, but Chris Boswell stuck on my squad for, you know, good 4, 5, 6 games and did pretty well for me.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a great kicker. And we got some rookies to watch here. Well, we got one rookie we want to watch, and we're talking here about James Washington. Tell me a little bit more about him, John.
Yeah, this is the guy that's taking Martavis Bryant's place as a big play deep threat. Last year was with Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma. 74 receptions, 1,549 yards, and 13 touchdowns for Oklahoma. Yeah, this is a guy that doesn't look like he's built like a wide receiver or fast or anything. Before you know it, he's up on you, he's past you, and he's catching the deep ball on you. A good wide receiver to keep an eye on for as a rookie, especially, you know, he looks like he could be the number three receiver there. So, you know, maybe they move Antonio Brown into the slot on third down or Juju Smith-Schuster in the slot and Washington's outside and end up running a fly. So, yeah, James Washington, definitely a rookie to watch with all these weapons on Pittsburgh. You know, you never know, be like Juju Smith-Schuster. He could have a similar season, maybe not quite as good as the season that Smith-Schuster had last year, but definitely a big play threat. So maybe one of those guys that you flex in and, you know, it catches. You just had one or 2 weeks where he just, you know, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, deep balls or something, you know, or 100 yards and a touchdown and maybe 5 catches or, you know, 3 long balls, you know, I don't know. He's definitely a player to keep an eye on.
For sure. And let's talk a little bit about their defense, John. They are a very good defense. TJ Watt was fantastic last year, and their schedule is really easy. So this is a very good defense. I think they're probably going to end up being potentially a top 5 defense. I'd say they're for sure top 10. And I think they're a team that you're going to have to watch because I think these guys are going to be excellent on defense, and I think they're going to take a big step forward.
I do too. I like this defense. They've improved. Last season they were a good defense too. Of course, they're going to miss Ryan Shazier in the middle there, but I think they'll still be a good defense. Like you said, the schedule is easy. You know, they play in a fairly easy division, and it's their division to lose, I think. Still, I expect them to come out on top of that division. That defense, though, it's definitely a draftable defense, Joe.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Definitely top 10 potential, so I love what I see in them. And look at that, John. We worked our way through the AFC North, and we are just getting closer and closer to football season, so I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Especially we got our draft starting to get planned out now, man. It's time.
Yeah, we're getting close. Of course, next Fantasy Football 2018 preview will be NFC East, I think, Joe.
Yeah, so we're doing the NFC East, and there's a lot to talk about. An exciting rookie running back by the name of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it'll be good to talk NFC East fantasy, AFC North in the bag.
AFC North's in the bag, and thank you for tuning in to the Fantasy Football Goon podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at FFBGoon. We answer all questions all season long. Make sure you follow me personally, at Joe Mandel. And then make sure you follow John. John, where can they find you?
At Santucci underscore John.
And then make sure you follow our friends at Bears Barroom. Also check out their podcast. It's really great. Tons of great Bears content. If you love football, you're going to love that. And we also have an Instagram page, so make sure you like us and follow us on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. And just make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, SoundCloud, and on Apple Podcasts. So we're all over the place. Hopefully you check us out. Thanks again for tuning into the Fantasy Football Goon podcast. Tooch, thanks for joining me as always.
It was my pleasure. Let's do it again soon.
We'll do it again very soon. We'll see you guys on the gridiron, and I have a new sign up. God bless America, God bless football, and let's kick some ass.
I love it.